you troublemakers! I'm placing you under citizen's arrest!
You gotta catch us first! For food?
You bet. They give you 3 square meals a day.
Oh, great. Well, what do I have to do?
Just sign this.
I'm starved. When do we eat?
Right after you finish your first day of basic training, son. Welcome to the Army.
To the future is my favorite thing. Always talk about it and write songs to sing. Even though there was never a part 4, Marty McFly is coming back for more. I don't make money, get no fame. Love for these characters is what I blame. Podcast about comics and cartoons and more. 'Cause there's still things to explore in Marchie McFly 4. It's Marchie McFly 4. Can you feel it?
Happy Friday! It's Friday, March 22nd, which means it's the 22nd day of the 4th year of Marchie McFly. And I'm back again for the 22nd day of podcasting in a row, right? Sorta, kinda. It's weird because I feel like I haven't done Marchie McFly. I feel like I've taken too long of a break, and I will explain. Because, you know, I said this is different. This isn't a marathon where I have to watch something every day and have to podcast about it every day. This is about getting 31 podcasts up in 31 days, all about Back to the Future and primarily the animated series, the extra stuff, not the movies, anything but the movies. But 2 days ago, this was on Wednesday. I got up really early and I was like, well, I have time before work. And I recorded the episode really early on Wednesday morning and put it up and ready to go. And then Wednesday night came around and I said, you know, I have time. So I recorded the following episode, which was yesterday's episode. I recorded that Wednesday night. And then Thursday came around. And when you do a month-long podcast and you don't, when you don't work like on it for a day, it feels like you messed up, or you like for a couple times I was like, wait a second, I'm missing a day, something's wrong here. But thankfully that is not the case, as yesterday I posted the episode that I just did. Actually, I think I recorded it Wednesday night, but I put it together still Thursday morning, so it was still, you know, work done on Thursday. But I also told you that on Thursday night, which was yesterday, that I was recording an episode of Fine Movies, Fine Spirits with my friends Chris and Dave. And we were talking about, what else? Back to the Future. We did that last night. I'm hoping to get the episode edited and up fairly soon, maybe through this weekend, something. I want to get it up in March so it can, you know, it's part of, it's a Marchie McBonus, I call it. And that's a very different podcast than this one, because it's always with the three of us, and it's, you know, a lot of the time it's making fun of each other and yelling at each other, and my friend Dave, I called him earlier in the day and I said, listen, tonight when we talk about the movie, I want to ask you something about the musical, because he was in London and he went and he saw the Back to the Future musical. So I said, just come up, you know, think of something. I'm going to ask your thoughts on it. I told him this. I planned ahead with this. And then that night I said, hey, you went to the Back to the Future musical. What can you tell me? Like, tell us something a little about it. He goes, well, it was very much like the movie and there was singing and dancing and it was very theatrical. I wanted to reach through my computer screen and punch him, slap him right in the face. And I called him on. I said, wait a minute. Are you telling me this play that is in the theater is theatrical? The play based on the movie Back to the Future is like the movie Back to the Future and it's a musical, so there's song and dance in it? Like, it was the worst and yet the most perfect answer that you could ask for. And I thought to myself, I'm going to put this in the episode. Like, hopefully he'll give me something cool and I'll put it in Marty McFly. It was so bad that I was like, I'm not even going to bother putting this together and getting this up. But I still wanted to tell you guys about it. And then he also said, like, what would you do if, you know, you had a time machine? What would you go back and change? You know, we bring up all the big ones and he talks about, you know, going to see the Beatles rooftop concert, but also, you know, trying to take out Hitler. And I said, you know, if I had a time machine, I would go back and I would kill Alexander Graham Bell before he invented the telephone so that you would stop calling me. That's what because this guy calls me constantly all the time. He's the friend. Now, I've been friends with him since I was 3 years old, but he's the friend who he'll text, but he'll call. Like, I'm like, can you just text me? Cause I can answer you later. You know, if I'm working, if I'm busy at the moment, but you call, I don't want to pick up. And if I showed you my phone, but then I call him back and I answer the phone anyway, like an idiot. But that's pretty much our relationship. And that relationship is paramount to the chemistry of the podcast, which I love when he does no research and has no answers and doesn't prepare at all. It's both frustrating and perfect. And that's all I'm going to say about that. We're here talking about the cartoon. We're focusing on the cartoon, Mike. We got to talk about the cartoon. Yes, I am actually quoting myself from the final episode of Marty McFly 3. Now, let's not waste any more time. Let's get talking about this next cartoon episode. All right, all right, all right. So this episode is the fourth episode of the second season. It's the 17th episode overall, and it's called Marty McFly PFC. And if you're wondering what PFC stands for, in this case, it stands for first class, because Marty's going to the Army. I don't know why I'm talking like Oprah. So this episode first aired October 17th, 1992. We're getting now, there's no Halloween episode. I wonder if we're going to get a Halloween episode, because we're closing in on like next week. Next episode should be a Halloween episode if there ever was one. But this episode was written by Mary Jo Luden. Now, isn't Luden one of the John Luden is one of the other Ludens, right? What bothers me is, it says it right in the credits, Mary Jo Luden, written by. And direct, this one was directed again by, I have it written down here. Wait a second. Where is it? Where is your name? Okay. I don't have it written down. I have it. I'm skimming through the video. John Hayes, he directed it again. They don't put the directors at the beginning anymore, which was weird. But again, the IMDb doesn't have this episode written by Mary Jo Luden. You go to her page. She's worked on a lot of cartoons, including Flintstone Kids, A Pup Named Scooby-Doo, all like IP stuff, Pound Puppies, Bill and Ted's. I think John Luden also, so they must be related, whether they're married or brother and sister or cousins or you know, just randomly have the same last name. But there's no listing here for, I read somewhere she wrote for Snorks and she wrote for that, and that's not listed here either. IMDb is a great resource until you realize that it's probably put together, you know, I'm sure there are employees, but a lot of this is put together by the general public. So part of me wants to go through every episode of Back to the Future and make sure the writers and the directors and everyone gets proper credit. That is like my Marchie Mick nerdiness that I feel like I need. I won't be able to not think about it unless I do it. Eventually just go back. Like I'll always think, oh no, Mary Jo Luden didn't get credit on IMDb that she was the sole writer for Marty McFly PFC, you know, and then I'll be up all night. I'll be tossing and turning. I won't be sleeping. So anyway, this episode takes place, is aired October 17th, 1992. And I like to think, what was I doing October 17th, 1992? I was 16, but I did not have my license yet. So I don't think I got my license until like the winter, towards the end of winter, because I'm an August baby. So September, October, November, December, January, February. So you have to be 16 and a half years old to get your license. So this was a few months before I finally got my license. Took my dad's Toyota Corolla out for a drive, immediately hit a car, but really just like really lightly. So what happened was there were cars on the street coming at me. I pulled over really quick to let a car go by. And when I pulled out, I bumped into a parked car. I freaked out and I left. I left the scene. My car was fine. The other car was fine. This car was a 1982 white Toyota Corolla that got stolen so many times that my dad didn't even fix the ignition. He had a Chapman lock. This was like a lock that killed the engine. And he used a screwdriver at one point to steal this car. This car, I guess people loved stealing Toyotas back then. And it was stolen from where he worked, like outside his school. It was stolen from our driveway once. At one point, I was driving a 1990 Dodge Shadow. And I think I might've been in college by this point. And they smashed the window of my car, rolled my car backwards, left it in the driveway, very nice, and stole my dad's 82 Corolla. That's how much they didn't care about my Shadow. And I grew up in a nice neighborhood, but we also are on the edge of the street. So if you're driving by this very, like, much more busy street, you could see our house. We're only a couple of houses in, and they see that Toyota Corolla, and like, Again, you may be saying to yourself, what the hell does this have to do with anything with Back to the Future? Welcome to the podcast, folks. It just happened to 1992. It put it in my head, and here we are. I told you a couple stories of my life. Now, let's get talking about this actual episode. This one had some things in it that I thought were fun, cute, and also had some things that really annoyed me. So it opens up with Doc in black and white, and he's in front of the blue screen again, and it seems like, did they get rid of the studio, the workshop altogether? The fact that he's always just in front of a blue screen, green screen. I wonder if this is Bob Gale's way of, or either the network was like, we're taking away your budget. You get a green screen. Or Bob Gale thought this was the way of the future. Put Doc Brown anywhere. He can travel through time. So he's in the 1940s at like this dance contest. And there's a big band. It's like old footage in the background. And in front of him, there's people dancing. And he's talking about being in dance contest and how Vern learned to dance back in the 40s as well. But here's what bugged me. Here's what's bugging me. I'm looking at Doc. He's wearing his white coat and he's wearing a number on the front of his shirt, you know, like he's in the dance contest, dance contest number. And the number is 99. And I'm looking at it thinking, would it kill someone to say, we should give him the number 88, you know, for 88 miles per hour? Not one person thought of this. I blame Bob Gale, who is the person. But, you know, I guess like whoever the continuity or the details person is, nobody saw it. Or maybe they didn't have the budget to print up another one. But this whole thing is just so we can get back to the 40s. So we're at the Hill Valley Dance Academy, and there is something clever in this that I do like. Vern is at he doesn't have his coonskin cap on again, but he has his hair done. Now, at first I thought this was the 40s, but this is right now. Vern is dancing with this little girl, and there's an older woman there who is really a stickler. She's like, you're going to learn this dance until you die, or you'll die learning. And Vern is really bad. He's stepping on the girl's toes. He's just not having a good time. He hates doing it. There's an old guy playing piano, and he's like falling asleep while he's playing piano. I don't know if it's her husband, but here's what's funny. On the wall behind him, there are pictures of this woman with various superstars, including Michael Jackson, but he's looking like Jackson 5 Michael Jackson. Paula Abdul, who it looks nothing like, it almost looks like a young Tracy Ullman in the drawing, and John Travolta, who we don't actually see, but he seems to be wearing the Saturday Night Fever suit. So this woman is a stickler. And Vern does not like this dancing at all. He's not into it, and he just wants to leave. He goes home, tells his mother, how come I have to do dance lessons? This is stupid. And Clara's chopping wood. Oh, excuse me, I'm tired. Clara is chopping wood, and she's like, look, you just got to accomplish. Look what I accomplished. It's this giant pile of chopped wood. Again, that's Clara. I think that's her entire existence in this episode. So, yes, they get Mary Steenburgen, but she must have been busy. Doc Brown also plays pretty much kind of a smaller part in this episode. He doesn't go time traveling, but he is working on some inventions. I don't know. He's hammering a nail or something. It really doesn't matter. But Vern tells him how he hates dance. And Doc says, well, I have just the thing for you. Here, I invented these back in the 1940s. They're my dance-aholic shoes, or the dance-o-matic. It doesn't matter. I guess it just shows you can do hopping dance, foxtrot, cha-cha, waltz, or swing. You put these shoes on, you flip the switch, you turn the shoes on, and they will dance for you. And he puts them on and he goes, see? And he starts dancing. But apparently they're so old that they malfunction. And he's like, oh no, maybe I have the blueprints around here somewhere for the originals. I can't find them. You know what? I have an idea. Then he kind of comes up with a kind of a cool invention. It's called like the flashback machine or something. He puts this thing on his head that has a camera. I guess it's supposed to be it should be a projector. Well, no, I guess I don't know how it works. It looks like this film canisters. He has that strapped to his head, and he has a typewriter wrapped, like strapped to his body. He types into the typewriter, Fance-O-Dance. That's what they're called, the Fance-O-Dance blueprints. And whatever he types there, he will now see a flashback of his memories showing that, because I guess apparently everything you ever see, you will always remember. And we get a flashback to the 1940s. It's 1944. He's like, oh, I used to live above that gas station. It was the beginning of we were fighting the Nazis. It was World War II. And I was living above this garage, and I could live there rent free as long as I, you know, kept an eye on things and made sure no rags caught on fire. And I'm thinking to myself, wait, Doc wasn't in the service? Doc didn't serve? Now in the comic books, we see the Doc like worked with the army with science, but we don't see that yet here in this episode. But we do see his old apartment. We see him looking at the blueprints for the Fancy Dance shoes, because this is exactly when he wrote those blueprints. He put them in a drawer, in his night chest, and then we see a picture of him, and he doesn't look like Doc at all until he hears something and he shakes his head and his hair goes crazy, and all of a sudden he looks pretty much just like a younger version of Doc. But that's the only memory he has. He says, you know, that the it's a shame that that place actually did burn down because of oily rags years later. Burns like, great, that's a fine. I know what I'm doing. Gotta go. So he goes and he enlists Marty to go back with him. Marty goes in the fridge and drinks Doc's fungus. That means nothing. That's just there for you to laugh at, I guess, if you're 4 years old. So they head to September 27th, 1944. Sometimes we don't see the date, but we're seeing the specific date here, September 27th, 1994, and they're staying in Hill Valley. They now, one of the, I wonder if the writer's room of Back to the Future, the cartoon, will sometimes say, hey, let's think of fun, inventive ways for the DeLorean to get up to 88 miles per hour instead of it just, you know, driving or flying. Now, this time, they punch in the coordinates. They're ready to go. A giant hand comes out and pulls back a giant pinball machine like lever, whatever they call that, you know, the spring lets go, and the it's like a pinball machine, the DeLorean is shot off into the sky and travels back to 1944. It's in the sky, and once it gets to 1944, it arrives on the ground again. Right away, I'd see that. I go, you can't do that. If you're in the sky, you arrive in the sky. If you're on the ground, you arrive on the ground. You are exactly where you are. Well, no, because in this series, you travel through space and time. So they could have said, we're going here, but put us on the ground, I guess. I don't know. This is me caring about these stupid things. So they show up. They're in 1944 Hill Valley, and they drive. They see there's army people right there. They go to the gas station, but they almost hit an army truck. They get to the gas station. They break in. Vern's like, don't worry. My dad will give us permission 50 years from now. They're like, you're probably right. So they hear a voice inside saying, you know, get out of here, intruder. It sounds like a woman's voice, but it's just Doc's, a recording of Doc's voice, an invention, I guess, to keep out intruders. And then Vern figures out that his drawer is probably voice activated. And just like he made a perfect impression of his mother a couple episodes ago, even though I never talked about it, he was telling a story about how Clara's parents met, and it was Mary Steenburgen's voice, but it was actually Vern mimicking Mary Steenburgen. Now he mimics Doc perfectly, and the drawer's open. Marty gets hit in the head with them, but they get the plans. They get the blueprints. They're ready to go home, but when they fall coming out, they fall on some barrels, and someone notices them. Now, we never hear this guy's name, but there's this army dude who comes up, doesn't sound anything like him, doesn't look anything like him, except for the fact that he's bald, and he calls these guys slackers. So he right away, I'm thinking, this is Strickland's dad. This has to be. Wait a minute. Yeah, it could be Strickland's dad. No. It could be Strickland. It could be him himself. And then 12 years later, he's, you know, he's at the high school. There is that chance. 11 years later. He's like, what are you guys doing? Are you spies? What are you guys doing here? No, we're not doing anything. And then they get away from him. They run and they go to take off. And this guy sees the DeLorean. He's like, what the hell is this? This looks like it's probably, you know, German, some kind of war thing. I better keep guard of here and call other cops or other army people. I don't know, who cares. So they run off. And they're like, what are we going to do? If we don't get the time machine back, we'll be stuck here forever. So they jump in the bushes and I guess fall asleep in the bushes overnight. Okay. Now, the next morning we see a teenage girl and a little girl who's dancing. She's got these big googly glasses on and they're working on this garden together. They wake up Marty and Vern, who slept in the bushes all night. Like, oh, nice to meet you boys. And, Marty's already got the huts for this girl. Again, Marty, you have a girlfriend at home. Have we noticed? All of a sudden, they're like, oh, nice to meet you. And then, uh-oh, look out. Here comes Frank Tannen, some sort of, I don't know, officer in the army. He's Biff's. Now, this is 11 years before Back to the Future, okay? So somewhere around here, Biff is living. Somewhere around here, George McFly is living. We're running out of time to meet George or Lorraine, and I'm getting pissed. So I don't know. I'm trying to think. So this guy, in 1955, Biff is 17, right? We're going with they're all 17. So in 1945, Biff is seven. So right now there's a six-year-old Biff Tannen running around here. This is 4 years before my parents were even born. So, wow, to think of how old George McFly actually is. It's crazy. When I just think, look at the, you know, I watched Back to the Future yesterday and just seeing George and thinking, wait, that's older than, he's older than my parents. And my parents are old. What was I talking about? So this guy shows up. He's like, how you doing? So he's like a Tannen. Like, Jesus, how many Tannens are there? He's a little dopey and he's a little, but he's, you know, he's a Tannen. And he shows up and he asks the girl, you know, do you want to go to the USO with me? USO, the USO. But he calls it USO because, again, he's Tannen, so he's kind of dumb. She's like, I really don't. I have to wash my hair. And then he goes, well, that's okay. Us Tannens have a long line of sexual assault. And he grabs her and he plants a kiss on her. Unwanted, unwarranted, did not have her consent. Again, you would not see this in a cartoon nowadays because people are much more evident, like, I don't want to say sensitive of it, but they're much more aware of how weird this looks. And you don't think of it back then, or you didn't, you just thought he's a bully and he's being a bully. But like, I guess I'm looking at it through 2023 eyes and I can't help but go, yeeks. And I felt the same way when you realize what Biff tried to do or was doing with Lorraine. Now you're looking at Frank and Frank's doing this to this girl. Like he's planted a big smooch on her and she's got her arms on him, shoving him away. Luckily, Marty throws a head of lettuce at him. He's like, or cabbage. Marty goes, don't you like tossed salad? Now that means many different things to many different people, but for him it means throwing a salad at this guy's head. He's like, what do you want? He goes to punch him. They run off. Hilarity ensues, but they end up, I don't even know how this happened, so this is weird. Okay, this guy who chases them does the classic, steps on a rake, hits himself in the face, very Sideshow Bobish. Marty and Vern wave at him and go, ha ha, you idiot, run off. He chases them. The very next scene, without a moment, he's now in a wheelbarrow with them. His head is in the wheelbarrow. I don't know how he got there. I would have thought this would be shit, but it's not. It's some kind of tomatoes and dirt. He's like, tomatoes. And they high five. They're like, yeah. Then this Strickland dude comes back. I believe it's him again. They're like, uh-oh, let's get out of here. So they run off. Vern runs over, keeps running to a movie theater. Vern runs. Marty runs into a building. Vern keeps going. And he's like, Marty, where are you? Now, Vern is in a movie theater. So he goes into the movie theater. Marty is in a recruitment office. And he's like, what are we doing? Are we in line for food? Because that's the first thing you think of. He's like, the guy goes in front of him. Yay, you get 3 square meals a day. Ooh, sign me up for that. He signs the papers. He joins the friggin' army. He's like, what? He goes, yes. Immediately, the guy grabs him. And the next thing you see, he's sitting in a chair. Marty gets a crew cut, shaves his head. Like, there's Marty. He's in the mirror. And now meet your commanding officer. And it's Frank Tannen. He's like, come on, you dummy. Now, here's the thing. Seconds have gone by. Okay, maybe I'll say a half hour. I'll say a half hour has gone by. Okay? I'll give you that from the time that Marty went in the door, he signed up for the army, and they brought him right away to say, okay, put on your, get your hair cut and let's go to basic training. Remember that, a half hour. So Vern is now in the movie theater and he's watching, you know, basically like a commercial, army propaganda, whatever you want to call it, for the war, how you too can help out. We have many people helping, even in science. In fact, Dr. Emmett L. Brown even helps. So you see, Doc did work with the military to help. It shows him mixing some beakers and an explosion. And the voiceover was like, better luck next time, Doc Brown. And then he goes, you can also see young men, you know, jumping at the chance to join the army. And you see a guy dragging a young man into an army recruitment area. The guy dragging is Frank Tannen. The guy being dragged is Marty McFly. So somehow within a half hour, they shot a movie. They developed the film. They edited it. They put it in and they brought it to the theater next door. All that happened because it's what I just saw. Really kind of silly. So now Vern heads back over to the DeLorean, but it's being guarded by two army guys. Now he's like, what am I going to do? He gets swooped up into a subway car by the two girls. And they're like, I need to get my friend. He's in the army. We need help. And, you know, we could help you with this. Let's come up with a plan. First thing we can do to get close to him is, and we got to get your car back. I think she said that. The little girl says, you need to join the jitterbug contest with me. He's like, jitterbug, I don't like dancing. She's like, tough shit. You're going to dance with me. He goes, Marty needs to get out of the army. She's like, oh, I, and the other girl goes, I think the army's great for him. It'll probably toughen him up. We cut over. Immediately we see Marty in tears, like, I want to go home, which I thought was kind of funny. Then we see him in the mess hall, finally some food. And it's, he doesn't like it. He goes, I guess it's better than the fungus. Then out of nowhere, a deep voice, because Vern is a perfect mimic, shows up. It's Vern dressed as an army guy, wearing a mask covering his face. He's like, come on, let's get out of here. They go over to a, back to the barracks. Is that what it's called? Where they sleep. And my guess is, oh, he's pushing him in a wheelchair, I guess, pretending he's sick. I was trying to figure this out. Where did they go? We got the plans. Where were the plans? I think this is Marty's bed, Marty's, you know, footlocker. And they're taking the plans that Marty had. Because remember, they took the plans from Doc's drawer. So they have the plans and they were with him the whole time. Tannen's looking in the window. He goes, stealing plans from the U.S. Army? They're traitors. They're spies. So he's ready to chase them. Now, he is working out of the good of his heart. He thinks he's doing the right thing. So there's a chase. They chase them over to the big USO concert where there's this guy is like, how you doing there? I'm Bobby, whatever my name is. It's basically Bob Hope. He's up there. He's like, oh, really good Bob Hope. And he's like, buy war bonds. And we got the Andrews sisters here. So there's going to be dancing on stage. Marty goes and dresses up as a girl on stage and dances with them a little. The other girl is there with her older friend. I don't know if they're sisters or not. And Vern, and they're like, we're here to do the dance contest. So before the army can get to Vern, the girl and Vern start dancing while Marty's singing dressed up as a woman. This is all happening. And then they dance so good that they win the 1944 jitterbug contest. Everybody's happy. And Marty, even though he got beat up, some reason he's holding a steak on his face, he still dresses as a woman. They're able to sneak back to the DeLorean because they go over to the army guys the next day and said, hey, the general wanted us to check out that car. And the guy's like, what general? They say General Motors, haha, or General Electric, because we're going to put your lights out. And two barrels cover these guys' head. They race back to the DeLorean. Now, it's been about a day. Marty's hair has grown back completely normal. It may even be longer. So Marty has some sort of hormone defect that his hair grows ridiculous at a ridiculous pace. We jump back and boom, that's it. They're done. They get back to the future. And Doc's like, wow, you did all this for the Fanso dance shoes. I really wish you went through a lot of effort, and now that you did, what kind of dance you want to learn? Fern goes, oh, you know what? I actually found out I like dancing because he was dancing with that girl and he was really good at it. So I don't need him. So everything we did was a big waste. So they're like, oh, well, then you better get ready for your dance lessons. He goes, yeah, I'm going to be late. Now he's happy to go to his dance lessons. He races over to the dance lessons and he's back with the woman who's teaching him dance. And she's like, he goes, I want to do the jitterbug. She goes, oh, really? You know, I won a Hill Valley Jitterbug contest back in 1944. And Vern's like, what? Hit it. He yells at the piano to hit it. And he starts doing the jitterbug with her. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the dance teacher at the beginning and the end is the same little girl that we saw dancing with Vern back in the 40s. Now they're dancing together again. Now, what if he said that was me? And then she has a heart attack. That didn't happen. Vern was smart not to reveal his secret. But I did like that cute little thing at the end. I feel like they should do more of this. But again, there's only 10 episodes left or 9 after this. So they can only do so much. Wait a minute. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, three. When I mean, there's 11 episodes left. Yeah, I don't know how to do math. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Okay, I really can't do math. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Why did I go to 15? There's only 9 episodes left. I was right the first time. My God, folks, I'm not editing any of this math out because, you know, it shows that this, I want you to know this is what you're dealing with. So we cut back to Doc, and he starts talking about dance and how dance is used for enjoyment. Dance is used for celebration. Sometimes dance is used for religion. Sometimes it's used as an art form. Sometimes it's used just to let off some steam and hang out. But he shows how dance is basically moving around with the center of gravity, and you're and now center of mass. And that becomes your silly science lesson of the day, brought to you by Bill Nye Science Guy, center of mass. The experiment is, it's a potato, two forks, toothpick, and a cup of water. I don't know where the cup of water comes in, but it's basically like, look, if you try to balance a potato on a toothpick, it won't work. But if you take the potato, put two forks in it, and then balance it on the side of a cup, maybe there's water in the cup, then it works. It's almost like the forks work almost like your arms when you're on a tightrope, and that's the center of mass. And he says, we'll show you a trick. Now, this is where it gets really weird, okay? He goes, we'll show you a trick and show you why men and women are not equal. I was like, wait, what? Take a chair. This is what it shows. Take a chair. Put the chair up against the wall. Now, bend over and put your head up against the wall so your head is, the top of your head is up against the wall, and lift the chair up. A woman can do it, but a man will have trouble with it. Then you just stand, I guess, straight. You lift, okay, lift up and stand up. A woman can do it. And it shows this woman do it, no problem. Now, a guy does it. So Bill Nyland's over. Now, he's holding the chair slightly different, but okay, he still should be able to lift it. He goes over, and he goes to lift it, and he's like, oh, I can't do it. I can't do it. And it starts to tell you it's because women's hips are different, so you have a different center of mass of gravity or a center of mass than men because women's hips are slightly back. So it shows why there's a difference. And I was like, what the hell? Again, I feel like they wouldn't do anything where it says, hey, ladies and gentlemen, let's show you why women and men are different. I feel like that wouldn't be in a cartoon today. I don't know. That's just me thinking these things, but it just seemed, I don't know, like an odd choice. Like we get to the point where they're like, Bill Nye, what do you got here? I don't know. Dancing, like maybe show how a dancer can do certain things. Not dancer, center of gravity. I get this great potato trick. And then I can show you why, you know, women can bend over and pick up a chair. What? I'm sorry. What? Just shoot it all. It all makes sense. We'll have Chris talk over it. Everything will be fine. Okay, sure, fine. That was bonkers. That's all I have to say. Listen, I'm done, okay? I got my dog at the door. She's ready to go outside, and she doesn't give a damn about Marty McFly, which, you know, I resent to a little bit, but I understand. She doesn't know what podcasting is or how important it is to Daddy. Daddy's going to take you out. He's going to take you out right after he finishes, right after he tells everyone that you can find him on Twitter and Instagram and Threads and Mastodon.social and Blue Sky at Geek Mentality. Did you know that? Huh? And then you go to Facebook and you can find Fans Not Experts on Facebook. Go to Fans Not Experts on YouTube or go to fansnotexperts.com. Yes, you can. You can do it, little listener. You can be a good boy, little boy or girl too. Huh? Very, very good. Now, listen, I'll be back tomorrow doing this all over again. It's funny. Today's Friday the 22nd, and I looked at my calendar, and I said, oh, crap, I was supposed to be meeting with Eric tonight. So I texted Eric. I said, we up for tonight? But I was telling him to watch the next episode because I changed the schedule a little bit. So I thought, oh, man, I'm going to be recording twice tonight. Then Eric's like, oh, my God, it's Friday. I forgot. He's been so busy with work. And I said, oh, you know what? I forgot until about 30 seconds ago. How about we reschedule? So I can tell you now that the plan is next Friday night, Eric will be joining me for a Marty McFly extravaganza. Well, what will we be doing? We'll be talking about the animated episode. But I also put a call out for Jason, and hopefully we schedule something within the coming days with him as well. But it's going to be a lot of animation for the rest of the way out here. And then I have a little fun thing for the, for not the final, but the penultimate. Is that the second to last? Where we will rank every single one of these episodes. Oh, okay, little lady, I'm coming. My beagle is calling. So thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. I'll see you tomorrow. But until then, here is my theme song. This is my podcast. I made it. Geek Mentality is what I named it. And I think you should listen and subscribe. 'Cause I'm kinda funny and awesome. I think that I'm worth your time. And I'm kinda handsome. My mom says, please listen and please subscribe. At least listen to this episode.
Fans Not Experts.